This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you today. And the weekend is nearly upon us. That feels very, very good to say, doesn't it?
Yes.
So what a week in news. It's been absolutely crazy. And I have to say, last night I was laying in bed watching, okay, I'll be real. On the TV on my wall in my bedroom, I was watching Walt Disney World YouTube videos. Just being straight with you. But on my phone, on my YouTube TV app on my phone, I was watching the hearings taking place in the House Judiciary, but I did not have the volume on. I just was waiting for the bottom to say, like, they're going to vote.
Yeah, because the volume was just yay, nay, aye, no.
Or over just and the over same bickering that had been taking place for 15 hours. Are you serious?
Did you watch
any of it?
Well, I knew what was going on the whole time because, like you said, nothing was happening, but everything was happening. So you just see the headlines and you know what's going on. And apparently they had to go so long yesterday that it's bleeding over into today with more votes or more something today, even though we know pretty much the two articles that were going to be. But we knew that 3 days ago. So,
well done.
Same
kept,
as it ever was.
You kept talking.
Same
just
as
long
it
enough.
Ever was. I knew you were typing.
I know. I'm taking care of some important business over here. So I want to bring us up to speed on the news that we've had since this morning when they did vote to send these articles of impeachment onto the full House vote. But there are some things that are going to have to happen in between that moment where we decide, where we find out who in the House of Representatives is going to vote to impeach the President of the United States. There is a timeline that exists now, and we got a really great breakdown of that. It's a little long, not terribly long, but it's got all of the important facts that you want to know about what happens next. And then after that, the President reacted from the White House with the leader from Paraguay, I think, that was sitting in there mm-hmm. with him. These leaders sit next
to
they're like, we're here to talk about, are we having crumpets for lunch today? Well, first let me handle this thing. And you've got the press crowded in the Oval Office. And that the world leader sitting next to him is like, things are crazy here.
Do you think those world leaders are like, thank God I am not Trump? Or are they like,
oh,
this
no.
guy's going in?
No.
I think they don't know what to do with him.
Gotcha.
I think that they are as entertained as we are. Mm. And they are like, these aren't my problems, but look at the part of history that I'm getting to sit here and observe with my own eyes and my own ears in real life. This is taking place right in front of me. I think they're amused. They've got the best seat in the House.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're also thinking, thank God it's not me.
There you go,
they
Katie.
They get the best of both worlds. So let's listen in to, this is Chad Pergram, who's the White House or the Capitol Hill correspondent for Fox News, who is going to lay out for you exactly what's going to happen next. This is great stuff.
Yes, absolutely. You know, what happened this morning in the Judiciary Committee, they approved those two articles of impeachment. And I'm going to run you through kind of historically what has happened with articles of impeachment being approved against presidents in committee, not on the House floor, but in committee. So with Andrew Johnson in 1868, the Committee on Reconstruction, remember this was just after the Civil War, they approved 11 articles. President Richard Nixon, the Judiciary Committee considered five. Three articles approved there in committee, though, but it never went to the floor because Nixon resigned. In 1998, there were four articles approved, that by the Judiciary Committee, but only two on the House floor, and then just two with President Trump today in the Judiciary Committee. Now, what's next? In the past 40 minutes, as you say, we have learned a little more about the roadmap. On Tuesday, they are going to take these articles of impeachment to the House Rules Committee. That's the gateway to the House floor. They set up how the debate will look, how much time will be allocated, you know, if there will be any amendments to the articles considered. That's really how they determine how to play the game each day. That will be a contentious hearing, as you might imagine. They did not go to the Rules Committee, I should point out, in 1998. They had more of a freewheeling debate that covered 2 days. So so we don't know exactly what the debate will look like. But usually you have to go to the Rules Committee 1 day before you put something on the floor. So what does that tell us? They will probably debate the articles of impeachment on the House floor against President Trump on Wednesday and Thursday. And if they actually approve the articles of impeachment on Thursday, that's December 19th. That's particularly interesting because it was December 19th, 1998, where they approved articles of impeachment against President Trump. Now, here's the thing to look for. You know, swing district Democrats. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was very specific, very narrow in only wanting two articles of impeachment. As I said, you know, they lost two votes on articles of impeachment against President Clinton on the floor in 1998. Nancy Pelosi does not like to lose votes on the House floor. She's pretty good at vote counting. So she wanted this to be narrow and specific so that she could maximize the number of Democrats who would vote for the articles of impeachment. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be defections. They can lose about 17 and still pass the articles of impeachment. There are two unresolved questions we should be asking right now. The first one is, who will the House managers be? After they approve the articles of impeachment, the House of Representatives has to approve a separate resolution to send to the Senate who will be the prosecutors. These are usually House members. Will it be Adam Schiff? Will it be Jerry Nadler? We don't know yet. And then the other thing they have to do, we don't know what the contours of a Senate trial will be like. Back to you.
All right. So that's Chad Pergram there reporting on the timeline that we are about to endeavor on. So they're suggesting a vote on the 19th.
So we're getting close to Christmas, eh?
Yeah. Man. At least we'll have this all wrapped up in a bow before we get to celebrate with our family.
Wouldn't that be amazing? And I'm sure they didn't plan it on happening this way, but if it did take place on the 19th, the same day that they approved the articles of impeachment on Clinton.
I guess that's just the time of year.
It's just this time of year.
I think this is going to be a disaster for the Democrats.
It already is.
I think it, yeah. I think it's going to be a disaster. That means more disaster.
Do you think there's a chance that one of these articles doesn't pass?
No.
Yeah.
I think there's too much
at stake.
Rodney
Davis said that yesterday, too. He was like, no way.
So now let's listen in to the president who was in the Oval Office, again, like I said, he's sitting next to the leader. I hesitate to know if he's a president or a king.
A dignitary from Paraguay.
Yeah, I could make up some fancy words, but the truth is I'm not sure what his title is. But he's a leader from Paraguay. He's sitting with the president of the United States in the Oval Office. And they're talking in there, and the president is reacting to the news of the day. And right at the end, it's funny, I don't know how long, I don't think we're able to hear this on here, but at the end, the press is going, you know, Mr. President, and he's like, he's going, thank you, and then he puts his tongue up on his teeth when he says
he
this.
He does that all the time.
And he holds it there, thank you, and so he keeps saying thank you, but then, like, while the press secretary's like, all right, press, we're done, press, it's over, move out. He says, I think Harris Faulkner calls it out. He goes, did you hear him say, any questions for Paraguay? As they're shimmying them out. I mean, he's still in full Trump form here. If anything, when you listen to this, this is what I'd like to know from you. Do you feel like he's gotten a little bit of an extra jolt from this. Like, this is kind of reinvigorating him to exactly the way he needs to be reinvigorated going into 2020.
Yes, and I think it's a surprise because I assumed that everybody was saying, you know, impeachment's going to hurt the Democrats, going to hurt the Democrats. And I thought, you know what? But that's because you're comparing this to 1998 when they had a compliant media complaining the whole time the impeachment was going on. We won't have that this time.
No.
But yet, I do think it's happened. I do think the president has gotten a bump out of this.
So let's listen in here. This is what just took place maybe 35 minutes ago in the White House when he was addressing the press.
Really lead to the opening of China, which is something that is incredible because that's a whole big untapped market of 1.5 billion people. And so I was actually doing the finals, but I got to see enough of it. And certainly I spoke to my people. It's a witch hunt. It's a sham. It's a hoax. Nothing was done wrong. Zero was done wrong. I think it's a horrible thing to be using the tool of impeachment, which is supposed to be used in an emergency. And it would seem many, many, many years apart to be using this for a perfect phone call where the president of that country said there was no pressure whatsoever, didn't even know what we were talking about. It was perfect. The relationship is perfect. I've done much more for them than Obama did for them. It's a scam. It's something that shouldn't be allowed. And it's a very bad thing for our country. And you're trivializing impeachment. And I tell you what, someday there'll be a Democrat president and there'll be a Republican House. And I suspect they're going to remember it, because when you use impeachment for absolutely nothing other than to try and get political gain. Now, with that being said, my poll numbers, as you know, have gone through the roof. Fundraising for the Republican Party has gone through the roof. We're setting records. Nobody's ever seen anything like it, because the people are disgusted. The people are absolutely disgusted. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. And I watched yesterday, I got to see quite a bit of it yesterday, and I watched these Democrats on the committee make fools out of themselves, absolute fools out of themselves. And I also saw them quoting all the time incorrectly. They kept saying me. It wasn't about me, it was about us. The word was us. So they would kept saying me. It said us. Can you do us a favor? Our country, comma, our country. Then it talked about seeing the Attorney General of the United States. For these people to say me, they would say me. You said, do me a favor. No, it didn't say that. It said, do us a favor, our country. Talking about the past election, talking about corruption. The other thing nobody remembers and nobody likes to talk about, and I talk about it all the time, is why isn't Germany, why isn't France, why aren't other European countries paying? Because we're paying, the suckers. You know, for years we've been the suckers, but we're not the suckers anymore. Big difference. But why isn't Germany paying big money? They're the ones, I mean, they have a much bigger benefit than we do, because Ukraine is really a stoppage between Russia and parts of Europe, the major part of Europe. Why aren't European countries paying? Why isn't France paying a lot of money? Why is it always the United States? We're 7,000 miles away. Why is it always the suckers that pay? So we've changed that, but nobody brings that up. I think that the whole impeachment thing, hoax, I guess you could call it, because it is a hoax, and Nancy Pelosi knows it. By the way, they duped her yesterday. She was on an interview, and she said, we've been working on this for 2.5 years. So she was working on it, in other words, 2 years before we ever spoke to Ukraine. She said, we've been working on impeachment for 2.5 years. And the reporter was shocked when they got this answer, because it showed she's a liar. So it's a very sad thing for our country, but it seems to be very good for me politically. And again, those people, because I watched some of the dishonest fake media, they're saying, well, the polls have remained the same. No, the polls have not remained the same. I think you understand that, John. The polls have gone through the roof for Trump, because people, especially with independent voters, and especially in swing states, I could show you numbers that nobody has ever seen numbers like this before. So the impeachment is a hoax. It's a sham. It started a long time ago, probably before I came down the escalator with the future First Lady. started a long time ago. And when you look at the IG report and you look at these horrible FBI people talking about we got to get them out, insurance policies, you know, the insurance policy is just in case she loses, meaning Crooked Hillary, who's crooked as a $3 bill. Just in case Crooked Hillary loses, we've got an insurance policy. Well, we've been going through the insurance policy now for 3 years, and it's a disgrace. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Say it. I think they'll hit $50 billion in agriculture. No, much more than 50 because it's also manufacturing. And
so that was the president this morning, not within the last hour, reacting to the passage of these articles of impeachment out of House Judiciary. Now it goes to the Rules Committee, and then from the Rules Committee, where they set the terms with which this will be discussed on the House floor. Next week, the House will vote to impeach the president of the United States. We're streaming live on Facebook right now, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We've got a question up there. How many Democrats will vote against impeachment in the House? Check out the Facebook page. We're getting very close to 10,000 likes. If you would consider sharing our Facebook page with a friend who may enjoy it, we'd appreciate that. When we come back, we're going to speak with Adam Schuster with the Illinois Policy Institute. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the pension crisis and how much it's really costing the people of Illinois. And we'll also mention, tell you about that Christmas party that you're invited to come see the folks on the Annie Fry Show and meet some people from Illinois Policy Institute. A lot going on today. We will cover all of it for you, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Crazy busy day today as the House Judiciary has voted in the affirmative to send the articles of impeachment to the full House floor. And we're going to continue to talk about that. Yesterday, we spoke with Senator Roy Blunt, and we're going to have that for you here in just a minute as well. But there's a lot going on in the rest of the world. I know it's hard to believe there are other things happening, like Christmas. Who's doing my Christmas shopping for me? Where is this getting done? How is this going
to
happen?
Stop looking to everybody else, Annie.
I'm looking at you, Ryan.
No, it's on you. I don't know your kids.
Yeah, my kids are done. That's the problem. It's the tough gifts that I need to get. I have your gift too, Ryan. Katie's seen it.
Ooh, is it an air fryer?
No. Don't. You need to lower your expectations.
Not quite that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Good. Looking forward
we'll
to
talk
it.
About that in a little bit here. I want to get to our guest, Adam Schuster of the Illinois Policy Institute, the Budget and Tax Research Director at the Illinois Policy Institute, joins us now. Adam, great to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You've got this article up available to people at illinoispolicy.org, and we will link it as well at 971talk.com after we get done talking about this with you, that really shows the impact, the real cost to Illinois taxpayers about the current pension crisis, which has not yet been addressed. And you give some suggestions about, hey, with all this money that we're spending on this pension crisis, think about the other things that we could do with that money if we had access to it. What can you tell us about what you've discovered?
Well, I mean, you laid it out pretty great there. The point of this article is to show that the amount we spend on pensions is hurting the priorities of even people who support, you know, government services. And so one example of what we could buy if we had a healthy pension system would be free college for every student in the state. We could send every undergraduate to a four-year degree granting institution with almost $70,000 for every kid, because we're currently spending about 25% of our budget on pensions, a little bit over that actually. If we were spending the 4% of our budget that we used to spend on pensions throughout the 90s, we would save almost $9 billion that we could put towards higher education.
Wow.
And instead, what we see is that higher education spending is actually down in real terms by 17% over the last 20 years because pensions are taking up more and more of the pie.
Yeah, you know, I think it's crazy to think that there's just so much. I was having some discussions with some other individuals from Illinois Policy Institute who were talking about the massive expenditure that in the Chicago public school system, all the money that comes in to help pay for education there, how much of it is just taken right off the top to afford, at least with CPS, the expensive nature of pensions there. It is ballooning. It's going to get bigger. The responsibility is going to get more burdensome for taxpayers. And, we have this problem where we're losing taxpayers in the state of Illinois. This burden's only going to get worse.
Yeah, and that's, again, spot on. I mean, one of the biggest problems we face in the state is our population loss. That's holding back our economy. People don't want to move here. Kids don't want to come here for college because higher education is being hollowed out by pensions. Companies don't want to move here and face the risk of higher taxes to pay for these pensions. So, you know, in reality, I probably wouldn't suggest using all of this money for free college, because one thing we really should be doing is trying to bring down the cost of our pensions so that we can give some tax relief to, you know, hardworking Illinoisans and hardworking businesses so that we can actually grow our economy again.
For sure. And when you look at what is in place right now, the direction of the legislature, the actions of the governor, if we continue down the path where our Illinois government is taking us right now, do we have any hope for fixing this problem here in the near future?
Well, we do have hope, because November 3rd, 2020, we have an opportunity to speak in a loud voice and tell Springfield politicians that it's time for a new path. And I'm speaking about the vote on the progressive income tax amendment, or what the governor is calling his fair tax amendment. If we can vote this down, if the people of Illinois reject this proposal, I think we can finally send the message to Springfield that we're sick of tax hikes. We realize that tax hikes have not fixed the state's finances, and it's time for them to get spending under control, reform pensions, and, you know, start looking out for taxpayers rather than treating them like a bottomless piggy bank.
Yeah, it's such an important thing for individuals to pay attention to. And I wonder how you say the word pension and everybody runs to their political sides. However, this pension crisis is not going to be, you know, discriminant to only hurt one side of the aisle versus the other. It's going to take a bipartisan solution, a bipartisan effort, in order to make sure that all of these people who are serving in these public jobs, in our law enforcement, in the people who are first responders, with our teachers, with the people who maintain mm-hmm. the public areas, those people are not just Republicans or not just Democrats. They're all over the political spectrum. They all also pay taxes. They are on the same end of the burden. Even if they will eventually take that pension, they are going to be punitively affected as well by the tax burden that Illinois taxpayers continue to face. What do you say to the people who think, you know, if they hear the word pension or they hear pension crisis, they just run to their political corner and think that, you know, they're just going to listen to what their side tells them? How bipartisan of a problem is this for the Illinois taxpayer?
Well, it's a problem for every person in the state of Illinois, no matter who you are, frankly, because it's already hurting the economy. It's already driving our second highest in the nation property taxes. It's been causing the state government to hike the income tax twice in the last decade already. So those things affect everybody, exactly like you said. But it's also a problem in particular for public servants, for our police officers, our teachers, our firefighters, because they don't have another retirement plan most of the time. Many of them don't pay into Social Security because of the government pension that they get. So they're probably not going to be saving in a 401k. So this is the only thing they have. And currently, these pension funds are at risk of insolvency. You know, it's an empty promise right now that these benefits will be able to be paid, because, you know, they're only 40% funded as it is, and it seems to go down year after year. So this is something, you know, everyone should care about: public workers, people who want lower taxes, businesses who, you know, want to be able to afford to hire people and grow jobs and wages in this state. And it's a problem for, you know, needy residents who rely on government services. And, you know, just to kind of bring it full circle here, that's the point of the article, is to show, you know, if you're on the left side of the aisle, you know, and you support things like taxpayer-funded college or quote-unquote free college, our ability to do big ideas like that is hampered by the pension system. So no matter, you know, what you believe, you have a stake in trying to fix this.
Adam, this is Ryan Wiggins. You are, you know, neck deep up in everything Illinois, especially the pension reform issue. Are there any states that Illinois can look to right now and say, wow, that state was in a similar situation and they did it right? That's a good blueprint. Or are we just in uncharted territory?
No, there's actually one state that is almost a perfect parallel, and that's Arizona. So Arizona, after the Great Recession, saw that its pension system was in trouble. Their funding ratios were deteriorating. The debt was growing, and they saw they had to do something. And they did the exact same thing that Illinois lawmakers did, is they passed a statute, just a regular bill, to try to reform the pensions. But because they had a pension clause very similar to the one we have in Illinois, their Supreme Court said no. So what do you do when you come to a barrier? You deal with it. You don't try to go around it or pretend it doesn't exist. So in Arizona, voters amended their constitution twice, once in 2016 and again in 2018, to allow for the kinds of reforms that they thought were reasonable. And these weren't, you know, draconian, you know, slashing pensions or anything like that. We're talking about adjusting the future growth rate of a person's benefit to actually preserve the benefit they already have. And because, you know, the public sector unions in Arizona saw that logic, the firefighters unions were actually driving this change. They were driving pension reform for their own pensions.
So are the politicians that are in Illinois, and we're almost out of time, but those who are in office right now, the Democrats that are there, are they looking at Arizona and saying, hey, maybe, or are they just turning a blind eye to everything right now?
Well, I think right now they seem to think that there isn't a way out, or that, you know, you can't amend the Constitution, or that this isn't something that can be done. And, you know, I think maybe some of them aren't aware of the case of Arizona or some other states that, you know, have done pension reform facing somewhat similar circumstances. And I think they're starting to wake up to it. And certainly I think the voters and the media are starting to learn more and more about this issue. And the politicians are lagging behind the rest of the state. But I think they'll be soon to follow.
All right. Adam Schuster with the Illinois Policy Institute, the Budget and Tax Research Director there. I want to encourage people to go to illinoispolicy.org and see the headline, Absent Pension Crisis, Illinois Could Afford, and I quote, free, end quote, college. It's great to have you on here, and we look forward to the party, the Lincoln Lobby Party in Southern Illinois on December 19th, where I will be there and some of your colleagues from the Illinois Policy Institute will be there. And people can go onto our Facebook page, Annie Fry Show, and check out the information there to attend. It's going to be a great time.
Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you again soon. Adam Schuster there, IllinoisPolicy.org. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear what Roy Blunt had to say about the impeachment process. It's going to go into the Senate as soon as the House passes it next week. We'll see where those votes break down. And the senator had some very, very, like, definitive things to say. He didn't even waffle very much on it. So you're definitely going to want to hear this if you missed it. We had him on it 2:40 yesterday. Mm-hmm. So stick around. We're going to talk to Roy Blunt when we come back. And also, I want to encourage you to go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. I'm asking for gift suggestion ideas for Katie and Ryan. So if you think you know these two, you can come on there and you can post links. I might just order it in the middle of the show. They won't know, but I will take your suggestions. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Back in a minute.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Senator Roy Blunt. Senator, it's great to have you on the show with us today. Thanks for the time.
Hey, Annie, it's great to be with you. I'm somewhere near the other end of the colorful spectrum from my buddy John Kennedy, but he is interesting, and if you understand every single thing he says, got to be paying attention. I like him a lot.
Yeah,
he is a very, very smart guy.
There was a moment when I remembered that he was on that committee, and I just got a little extra excited to watch the event unfold. Let me ask you, as you were watching, and I'm sure you were taking it in, and you had the IG report, and either you read the whole thing or maybe the executive summary, a bit disconcerting, I would say, to see what took place.
Well, it was. I think I was probably less surprised, having been on the Intel committee. And, you know, we've gone through this pretty thoroughly. We've managed to do that in a fairly nonpartisan way. But we're now issuing our multi-volume report that in the long term will, I think, have some real impact. Clearly, the Russians aren't done doing what they're doing. Other people who see that the return on investment here is incredible, how little you can spend and totally confuse things in the United States for a long time. So that report is going to be out. I think the last volume comes out next year. It'll be largely focused on the Russians and that kind of intervention. But looking into that, it was clear from the time we sat down with James Comey before he was fired that there were some significant differences here in what was being said and what had been done. And I think the IG's report points that out very well. You've got attorneys at the FBI, 180 degree changing the information they get from the CIA. And by the way, while you're there, you got John Brennan, the director of the CIA, who for 3 years has never chosen to point out that the way Carter Page was described up until right now was wrong the entire time. And it's deeply concerning.
Let me ask you this. For the Missourians that you represent, and I'm going to just adopt you as my senator for a while. I spend half my time in Missouri anyway.
And it's the best half, right?
Yeah, it's the best half. It's the least taxed half, that's for sure. So
for sure.
when you see the IG report that we all get to read and you have the information that you have being a part of the Intel community, what concerns do you want to make sure that your constituents, the really surface level, this is what we need to know as American voters, as American citizens, as people who could potentially, be voting in the future on individuals who are going to be appointing people to the FBI or involved in this type of surveillance, this type of authority access that these individuals have? What does the IG report tell Missourians and your neighboring folks in Illinois that happened and that doesn't need to ever happen again?
Well, Annie, I have two concerns about this. One is, and let me make this one first, be sure I don't fail to make it. I am absolutely convinced that 99.9% of people who work for the FBI, that person that's likely, if they're doing a background check or somebody that's going to be calling you, if they're checking before some event happens, 99.9% of people that work for the FBI are representative of the best standards of law enforcement anywhere in the world. But there was a group in the top ranks of the FBI or near the top ranks of the FBI that I think got so wrapped up in what they thought was an unacceptable determination by voters that they lost their judgment.
Are you suggesting political bias?
Yeah, I don't know if the bias, how political it was or whether it was just purely individual bias against President Trump. And there's a difference if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it was bias against a Republican as much as it was bias against somebody that they thought was not ready to be president and apparently were willing to stretch a little bit or believe things that they shouldn't have taken on face value or added value to them that wasn't there. But I would hope that Director Wray and others take this incredibly seriously, to understand that we don't want to revert to the reputation the FBI had right after J. Edgar Hoover left and people began to hear about the files in his desk drawer that he would pull out and lay on the table so that politicians would know that, well, I could open the file about you,
Wow.
And that kind of FBI. We've come a long way from there. But we're not clearly where we need to be right now. And I don't think it's pervasive, but I think it was pervasive in a narrow enough group that happened to be in charge of this particular looking into President Trump, candidate Trump's campaign, and then even afterwards having this sense that somehow voters made a big mistake and maybe we should be trying to help them understand how big that mistake was. You know, voters get to make these choices, and they did make a choice, and the FBI and others in the federal government need to understand that they work for the voters of a country. They don't work for a special agenda in the country.
Senator Blunt, this is Ryan Wiggins. Pivoting to impeachment, assuming the House does go forward and votes to impeach the president, in January, the Senate will most likely take that up. And are we looking at weeks more of hearings in the Senate, that just more from the Republican viewpoint of things, or is this going to be quickly and painlessly put to death?
Well, I don't think painless can be the word we can use here. I think this is going to have turned out to be a pretty painful experience, and maybe even more painful for voters once they get to the likely end of this, which is a moment when it will appear that there was never a possibility that Democrats in the House could achieve what they theoretically were trying to achieve by impeaching the president, removal from office. Very likely, in my view, that a highly partisan vote in the House early next week will be followed sometime in January by an equally partisan vote in the Senate. And, you know, the bipartisan vote in the House next week, I'll just predict right now, will be all of the Republicans and a handful of Democrats voting with the Republicans that impeachment not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And when that comes over to the House, I do think the president needs to be heard. He has not been fairly heard in the House. When it comes over to the Senate, I think we'll see a moment when the House managers get to present their prima facie case. It means not necessarily with a lot of witnesses. Here's the case. We're presenting it to the Senate. The president gets to present for the first time on a neutral platform his case. And then we'll see at the end of that 2 or maybe 3 weeks if there's anything that would likely change results. And if not, I think it's time to vote and get back to the business of the country. And let me say again, when that happens, if it happens that way, Missourians and Americans that aren't upset about this yet will begin to think about it and wonder how so much time and so much effort and so much noise could have been spent on course that led to nothing but a total partisan vote at the end in both the House and the Senate. And again, there may very well be a bipartisan vote in the Senate not to impeach the president, but I think clearly we're gonna see that there was no way to ever expect the 67 Senate votes that would be necessary to remove the president. Mm-hmm. To do that, unless there is some thunderbolt that occurs between now and the middle of next week.
Senator Blunt, I only got about 30 seconds left here, but I wanted to ask you about, you talked about all the time that was spent on this effort. The USMCA is pending. It would be nice to get something like that completed and through. Other things just off the top of your head that you would like to get done in Washington, D.C., instead of spending your time on an impeachment?
Oh, absolutely. USMCA, getting that done, getting the government funded at a time when the Defense Department and others have 12 months to spend the money. You can spend this money much more effectively if you get it on time. Doing what I'd like to do to expand the Missouri pilot project, where we've got a number of locations where we're treating mental health like all other health, so that other states could be part of that, and about 11 other states would like to be part of that, focusing more on healthcare research and Alzheimer's and issues like that that the taxpayers have a big stake in and families have an even bigger stake in.
Those are the kinds of things
we could be doing.
Yeah.
That's right. Defending the country, doing that in the smartest possible way as well. And, you know, we have majored here in terms of committing our time to something that produces no result. It's not a political result in all likelihood.
Yeah. Well, Senator Blunt, it's a pleasure to speak with you today on behalf of your constituents in Missouri and your adopted constituents in Illinois. We appreciate your time here on the show.
Great to talk to you. See you both soon.
So that was our discussion with him yesterday. Right before we wrapped up the show, it was great to have the senator be able to join us and discuss this. And hearing him talk about his confidence that he has there and how the Republicans are going to have full support for this president and how much of a sham this has been. We've heard the president say this is a sham, this is a hoax, but he's been saying that daily for how long? I would not expect Senator Blunt to be so pro-Trump on that specific issue this early in the game. Did that kind of surprise you a little bit, too?
A little bit. You figured he would say,
I'm trying
well,
to figure out the right way to say
we'll,
that.
We'll see, you know, at least have the appearance of impartiality, even if he knew which way he was going to vote. But he didn't. He said, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do. I mean, I guess we're pretty late in the game now. We've already seen all the hearings. They've seen them, too.
Yeah.
So, well, and we heard Rodney Davis yesterday say, too, that the Republicans are the hell no caucus. They're saying we are not going to vote for impeachment. All of us know it. Even the people that can't vote in the Judiciary Committee would say no. We're all unanimous, all on the same page on that.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Gabe Pfeiffer is going to join us in studio, and we are going to commence our Friday afternoon with you. Thank you for being with us today. Make sure you go like the Facebook page, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We're going to share the event that we are going to be at next Thursday, December 19th at 6:30 p.m. at the Gateway Convention Center in Collinsville. We're going to have a Lincoln Lobby party with you. Everybody is welcome. Tickets are $5. There's an open bar with some appetizers, and you can sign up. Share it with your friends. Let's have the biggest, happiest Illinois hug that we can, because we need each other, don't we? Gabe Pfeiffer, St. John the Philosopher on YouTube when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.